Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 13. If you'll notice there, the theme for this year is cultivate. And I introduced it last week as we began here in Luke chapter 13. And you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. And we're going to continue to talk about this particular subject of cultivating and how God uses this term in our lives as believers. And so we're going to read here, once again, the first 9 verses of Luke chapter 13. I will read by myself the odd verses, and you will join me on the even verses this morning. So beginning in verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Well, I do hope that you've enjoyed thinking about the theme for this year. And I don't know, maybe you're not like me. That'd probably be a good thing. or maybe you are, and I'll pray for you even harder. Whatever the case may be, but I don't know. I get a thought in my head and it kind of sticks there and just, you know, spins around and kind of like a hamster wheel. But you know, this thing of cultivating has really grabbed hold of me. And I suppose it's because it's what the Lord wants us to kind of set an aim and a focus on for our lives this year. And you know, I'm 44 years old. I guess I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not really a young man. I'm not really an old man yet, necessarily. But, you know, I just think about my life, you know, and what God has for me and what God has for you. And I think about that as a pastor. And, you know, I think no matter if you're young or if you're old or if you're in the middle somewhere, God wants us all to grow. He wants us all to produce, and he wants us all to be successful, not so much in our own eyes and not so much in the eyes of this world, but in his eyes. You know, if you look here at the scripture and at the parable that God was giving to us, he said that a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. This is a reasonable thing. This is just an individual that owns a parcel of ground and has decided that he wanted to plant this tree there. And he said, you know, I want this tree and I'm going to plant it here and I'm going to put it there. And when I come back year after year, I want some figs off that tree. That's perfectly reasonable, right? Lord let us purchase a house here in Wiley. And it has a very nice, mature peach tree on it. You know what? Last year we picked over 300 peaches off that darn thing. And there were, some of you can raise your hand, they were wonderful. White peaches, beautiful. Tasty, I mean, fantastic. You say, well, how do they know? Because I shared them. There were too many. But you know what? I have a little bit of an expectation. Yeah, you understand? Is that wrong for me to expect that peach tree produce some peaches? Now, it would be wrong for me to expect the peach tree to produce oranges. That wouldn't make any sense. We have some chickens. We love our chickens. They're kind of like pets more than anything. You know, I have a little bit of an expectation. Eggs. Yeah. And maybe not every day, but at least some, right? And I want my chickens to be productive, right? They're eating the food that I buy for them. They need to give me something back. It's just kind of a reasonable thing. Anybody think it's unreasonable for this man to want figs from a fig tree that he planted in his vineyard? Not at all. God wants us, likewise, as plants or trees, if you will, in his vineyard, to produce. We talked a little bit about the cultivating process last week, and today I want to turn our attention on the time of cultivating. The time. Take a look here at the text, and as we read down here, we see the story unfold. And we see the man coming to the tree, year after year, and wanting fruit, seeking fruit. He said, I just want this tree to produce some figs. And he says unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. You know, the first thing about the time of cultivating, we know that God is a long-suffering God. And now listen, I understand a little bit about farming and a little bit about agriculture. And you say, why are you using this illustration? Well, because it's used all throughout Scripture. It's something that's around us. You may not be a gardener, okay? But I grew up in North Dakota, praise God. Okay? You know what they do in North Dakota? Farm. Freeze. Yeah. No, we're smarter than that. But there are more cows than people in North Dakota, if you will. Way more farms, if you will, in that regard. But I do know a little bit about farming. Back in Arlington, we had the pleasure of planting some asparagus. Anybody like asparagus? Yeah, I love asparagus. That's another thing we inherited at this house in Wiley, is a whole crop of asparagus. It's fantastic. You know, asparagus is one of those plants that you got to plant and then wait a while for it to really come in. And they recommend 2 to 3 years. You just let it kind of sprout and grow, and you cut it down and repeat the process over and over again. And then after a little while, you get a chance to harvest it. I'm a big fan of nuts. You say, why is that? Because you are what you eat. So I just am. And I love being here in the South. I do. I know I'm a Yankee, and I know I have weird things about me, but that's okay. But I have come to love several things here in Texas, like chicken fried steak, glory to God. Okay, I'm getting you ready for lunch here. It's coming up in a little bit. But I've come to love something called a pecan. You're not a pecan, okay? A pecan. I love pecans. I do. They're fantastic. And so I planted a pecan tree. You know something about pecan trees? They don't really produce pecans for a couple of years. So this is reasonable. And so we see that the master, the owner of the tree, he doesn't just stick the thing in the ground and say, give me figs. And if not, I'm yanking you out. That would be unreasonable. Just like it'd be unreasonable for a farmer to go out and to cultivate the soil and to dig it up and the next week or so to go out and plant all the seeds and then the next week get his combine ready and say, okay, we're bringing the crop in. What? No crop? Dig it up! I mean, you haven't even given the seeds time to germinate yet, let it alone produce fruit. So we see that this master, he's not impatient. He's very patient, very long-suffering, very desirous of the tree just to produce in its natural state what it's supposed to produce. Can I say, for us folks, that's how God is? He's not impatient. He doesn't have unrealistic expectations. He doesn't send into your life the circumstances that are necessary to bring you to faith and repentance in Christ, and then say, all right, where are the 5,000 people that you're supposed to lead to the Lord? Oh, why haven't you built a big church? And why haven't you gone out as a missionary and done the work? And why haven't you... He's not like that. He's not demanding immediate results. But simply over the natural course of time, reasonable expectations. You know, you get saved, you become a babe in Christ, and desire to grow. God's going to allow for some of those growing experiences and difficulties that we may encounter along the way. But eventually, at some point in time, over the natural course of time, He's going to want us to produce fruit. I remember I was kind of sad because I had to leave it behind, but a couple years ago, I got to plant a pecan tree in my yard over in Arlington. And, you know, it was a good-sized tree, probably about 4 or 5 feet tall, and we stuck it in the ground. And the first year, it did put off about couple of branches of leaves, and it had, I think, 3 little pecans, you know, hanging on it. And they weren't really worth anything to as far as eating goes, but, you know, that was kind of exciting to see that, right? You know, and the next year, maybe a few more, and the next year, a few more. You understand how the process goes. Maybe just one fig. Maybe just a couple little figs. Just show a little bit. And then the next year, I mean, certainly the master would be kind of excited and looking forward to, okay, well, last year it put on 1 or 2 little figs, and maybe this year I'll get 5 or 6 or 7. You know, this, I don't know a lot about this white peach tree that's in my yard, but I can tell you something, it's blowing and going. 300 peaches, man, that's a lot of peaches for a tree. That's a bunch. I'm excited. I don't know what this year is going to bring. Maybe none. But I hope some. But you understand that there's this process of time. And as we read this story, he says, 3 years I come seeking fruit, and 3 years I haven't gotten anything. Hey, this tree isn't doing anything. Let's get rid of it. Let's find a tree that will. The dresser of the vineyard intercedes. He says, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Now, on a literal scale, many scholars think that this is speaking of the 3.5-year ministry of the Lord. That Israel wasn't listening. Year 1. They weren't listening. Year 2. They weren't listening. Year 3. And so, some think that this is an illustration about Israel just being cut off and moving on to something different, like the Gentiles. You understand? But doesn't God love His creation? Love His people? Don't forget, He chose them. He's long-suffering. And He's gracious. And He's merciful. Didn't Jesus come to His own and His own received Him not? We understand that. We knew that that was going to take place. But you understand also that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the Lord intercedes and says, give me another year. Hey, think about that year, folks. The last part of Jesus' ministry. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. and the growth of the church, beginning in Jerusalem. Did the Lord dig about it? Yes, with his own sacrifice on the cross. With his own preaching and teaching. And with that he passed on to the disciples to preach the gospel to every creature. The commission that he gave to the church to be witnesses into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They're cultivating. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That fertilizing. Why? If it bear fruit, well. And if not, then cut it down. Did it work? It worked. In that last year, you know, the tilling process, the digging around in the ground, relieving the soil of its compactness that the roots can grow through it, the adding of fertilizer and elements necessary for growth takes time. It takes time. And God is willing to invest the time that it takes to cultivate and cultivate properly the things that he cares for. He cares for us, folks. And he cares for not only those who have already accepted Christ and been planted into the vineyard, but he also cares for the lost. Think back, those of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior already, the time that God invested in you before salvation to bring you to that point. Think about it. Some of you maybe have been saved as kids. That's wonderful. Some of you have maybe as teenagers. Some of you as young adults. And maybe some of you as older adults. Before you came to know Christ as your Savior. Well, whatever the case is, God invested some time in cultivating the soil, didn't he? He invested some time in fertilizing and bringing things into your life to draw you to the Savior. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 is toward the end of the New Testament. Paul says this simply. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand, folks, that God wants all to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is long-suffering to usward. He wants the time that's necessary to bring us to Jesus Christ. You say, well, but God doesn't do that for everyone. Yes, he does. He wants all to be saved. Oh, but there are some people out there that just aren't worth it. Well, the parable that he told, that tree, even though it wasn't producing, was worth it. He desired to have some more time to dig about it and to dung it and to make it do what it's supposed to do. He wants all of mankind to be saved. He wants everyone to come in faith and repentance to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Over in Isaiah 53, we know this is a prophetical scripture about the Lord. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." That's what our Lord went through for us. And can I say just in a few words about it, that he took the time that was necessary to cultivate. Oh, it was agonizing. It was difficult. It was arduous. Just as maybe understand here in Texas, as you try to stick that shovel in the ground, this soil kind of fights back a little bit. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort, time, and maybe even some blood, sweat, and tears putting into cultivating the ground so that plant can grow and produce fruit. Our Savior did that for us. Can you look back in your life, those of you that are born again, to the cultivating that God had to do? The digging of that hard soil in your life before you trusted Him? Was it worth His time and effort? Was it worth His pain and sacrifice? Was it worth the blood, the sweat, and the tears that he offered up for you so you could be saved? Aren't you glad of the cultivating time? Aren't you glad of the time that was spent just like this dresser of the vineyard asked for another year? He asked if he could do some extra work to make this work. He said he wanted to do it. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. Did this dresser, did he own the vineyard? No, it wasn't his. Okay. Would it have not been easier Bye-bye. Right, a piece of cake, right? Or like I did last week, my all done. I still do that pretty well. I don't know if I'm a Steel or an Echo or Husqvarna. I don't know what I am. Craft, maybe. Those are chainsaw brands, if you didn't know.
That would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Then to go take the time and to dig and to go over and, well, and this time he dung it.
Here, horsey, horsey, horsey.
Well, I got some of my boot. Some of you know nothing about farming. Okay. It's not always a fun task. I mean, out in the garden all day, you know, maybe you guys or maybe you ladies, you know, there's darn weeds, pulling the weeds out. Oops, pull out a flower, put back in. Hope the wife doesn't see. Please live so I don't die. You know, it's an arduous process. It would have been a whole lot easier for him just to cut it down and just be done with it. But no, this wasn't the master's idea. This wasn't his idea. He didn't say, hey, he said, look, it's cumbering the ground. It's not producing fruit. Cut it down. Get rid of it. And he says, no. Give me some time. I want to work with this plant. I want to see it be successful. I want to dig about it and I want to fertilize it. I want it to do something. I think that's what kind of describes that verse in 2 Peter, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. That dresser was not willing that that plant should perish, but that it should produce the fruit that it should. Over in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, and he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother, father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus wasn't willing that this young ruler should perish, but that he should come to repentance. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his... I skipped a verse there. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, in this particular case, as far as we know, he dug about it. He dunged it. And chose not to produce fruit. He gave that young man everything he needed. He even showed him love and compassion. And he said he went away sad. Another account of this particular verse says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He chose not to produce the fruit. In Acts chapter 26, we're shown a tree that did decide to produce the fruit. There was a man that was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel, the teacher. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was so prominent, he was the one that gave consent and held the coats for that criminal, Stephen, to be stoned to death. He wreaked havoc on the church. imprisoned, killed or had killed. Those that defied Jehovah God under the authority of the Sanhedrin. He even had letters to go to Damascus and to arrest those there in that region of the country. You understand, Saul of Tarsus was one tough cookie. You know what? Jesus loved him. Jesus dug about him. Jesus fertilized because he wanted to see fruit. Saul gives his testimony, of course, now called Paul, to King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, verse 12, he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me." You know what? Paul was a tree that responded to the cultivating process, the time of cultivating that the Lord invested in him. You know what I think? I think as Paul went around wreaking havoc on the church, he saw the testimony of that Christian. The testimony of that Christian. And as he stood there and holding the coats, and as he saw Stephen looking up into heaven, being pummeled by the stones, crying out that he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. As he cried out and to ask God to forgive them for what they were doing to him, that cultivating was working in the heart of Saul. And every time he put those chains on maybe a mom and a dad that were believers, and he saw the little kids maybe huddled in a corner praying to God for deliverance and for safety, that cultivating process was just digging up his heart, preparing him to receive Christ one day. I'm just asking you to think about it. Think about the cultivating that God took the time to do for you. It's easier just to cut the plant down and get rid of it. It's a lot harder to dig around it and to dung it, to make it produce like it should. Paul wasn't done. That was his testimony. He was doing a little digging of his own. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me up in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and you, King, the great, saying none of the things in those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. He was even complimentary to the man. But speak forth the words of truth in soberness. For the king knoweth these things, for whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. And he's working on this man. He's digging around. The dung is flying everywhere. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And in my opinion, those are some of the saddest words in all of Scripture. He said, what about the rich young ruler that went away sorrowful? Well, that was sad. But how sadder still to be so close and not trust Christ. I don't remember what stories I've told you or not. So if I already told you this, just bear with me. When I was in the Navy, I had a young man that I worked with. Troubled young man. Got to talking to him one day, kind of witnessing to him and inviting him out to church and telling him about the Lord. And we got to talking and he said, Eric, I've been through some troubled times in my life. He said, I've read the Bible many times through. And you know what? I was kind of young in learning how to be a witness for Christ and doing those kinds of things. I had been saved for many years, but he kind of knew the gospel presentation better than I did. And at the end of talking after several weeks and witnessing, I just asked him, I said, how about it? Would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? He said, no. No, I don't want to. What a heartbreaking thing. I asked him why, and he had his reasons, but it was just sad. But you know what? It was worth the time. It was worth the effort. It was worth Jesus' time and effort. It was worth Paul's time and effort. Even though some, like Agrippa, said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But the time invested in cultivating, the time invested in preaching the gospel and going through the difficulties, because persecutions will come. Difficulties will come. I mean, Jesus Christ himself experienced these things. All through the early church, disciple after disciple, and preacher after preacher, and Christian after Christian went through these difficult things. And like the dresser, they were willing to dig about it and dung it, just in case it would produce some fruit. That's God's attitude toward us. In 1 Corinthians 9 it says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Second Corinthians 6, Paul continues and says, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It comes from a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 49. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But can I say to you something? Just like in our text this morning, the keeper of the vineyard had waited 3 years. Said it's time to cut it down. The dresser says, give me one more year. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then we'll cut it down. Remember, I told you, God is long suffering. Not forever suffering. How long is long? I don't know. Nobody knows. In this particular case, it was 4 years. I've heard over and over again people tell me, Eric, I know that if I didn't trust Christ that day, that was my last chance. I've had people tell me that. They knew in their heart and their soul that if they didn't go then, it was it. See, how do you know that? You don't. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Hey, if you've been struggling with this in your life, don't put it off. I don't know how long they're going to dig about you. I don't know how long they're going to dung and fertilize and try to see if something will grow. But I do know the day of the Lord is at hand. The judgment of the Lord is coming. Over in Matthew 24, Jesus was saying, but of that day and hour no man knoweth. Knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, till the day Noah entered into the ark. Those folks had 120 years to turn to God. You know, God wanted more than 8 people to be saved from the flood. Once those doors were shut. By the way, Noah didn't shut them. God did. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour, as ye think not the Son of Man, cometh. One year, that dresser was going to dig about it and dung it. I don't know about you, my heart's just heavy today for some reason. Many of you in here have a profession of having already trusted Christ as your Savior. And that's wonderful. Maybe today there's some that have not. How long are you going to wait? Maybe God's been already digging up the soil around about your heart, trying to get you to see your sin and see your need of a Savior. Would you accept Him today? Would you let Him do His work of cultivating in your life, complete it? And then maybe for some of you today, you are a Christian. You are a plant in the vineyard of God. But you haven't been producing fruit. Do you want it said of your life? Cut it down? Why cumbereth it the ground? You can respond to the cultivating of the Lord and produce fruit and be in favor with the master of the vineyard. Whatever your need is today, help you understand that there's a time. You say, what is that time, Pastor Combs? Tell me,
Well, Jesus has said if the good man knew when the thief was going to come, he'd watch and he wouldn't let his house be broken up. I can't tell you that answer. I don't know how long God will dig about you and dung you. I don't know how long He's willing to work with you. Just respond to His working in your life. Then you don't have to worry about it. And you'll produce fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Because that good ground that's dug up, that's fertilized, it's full of nutrients, it's going to help that plant produce the fruit it's supposed to produce.